grab some popcorn and a favorite chair. The love of movies is why we're here. Press play and don't delay. Let Phil be our guide to a cinematic day. Phil at the movies, through the silver screen to his podcast stream. Phil's covering every movie dream. Phil at the movies. Phil at the movies.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Phil at the Movies. I'm your host, Phil Walsh, and this is show number 155 of this ongoing podcast that is always for the love of movies. Now, today, everybody, I'm going to be talking with you about a movie that, frankly, I never expected to be talking about on this podcast. And the reason for that is it was not on my radar until a few weeks ago. And I'm excited to say that not only is this one of the year's best films, it is also an animated film. And drumroll please, this is the first time I have reviewed or discussed an animated movie on this podcast. We've got 155 episodes, and today is the first time. So this is kind of exciting for me in that regard. But also, it stands to the point, because sometimes people will be dismissive of an animated film. And again, not to, to paint with too broad of a brush or too narrow of a brush, but an animated movie is just as valid, and in some cases could be more valid, than a live-action film. I mean, these are on the same level, particularly when one is made with care, affection, and incredible detail and design. And the film today is, of course, the much-anticipated and, God willing, successful film, The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. That's right, everybody. I am talking about a Looney Tunes movie. I know, I did not see this day coming. And again, I'm not saying that as a highbrow comment. It was just not a movie that was on my radar. But fortunately, I had a chance to see it a few weeks ago. I actually wrote a review for it for Geek Vibe Nation, which I've included the article in the show notes if you want to check it out in addition to this, or maybe you just don't want to listen to my voice, and I understand that. It's all good. You can certainly read the review and hear or see what I had to say. But this movie, I had a chance to see it. Now, I'm not a, I will admit, not a student of the Looney Tunes catalog or characters. I mean, certainly aware of them just because of their cultural, pop culture status. But I am by no means an expert. So I kind of went into this more or less just as a casual viewer, someone just looking for a good time. And I have to say, I left this movie with the biggest smile on my face. It is an absolute delight, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you my thoughts on this animated film. Again, first time on this podcast, I'm talking about an animated movie, so I'm kind of excited about this. I can't lie to you. Before I begin, of course, with that, if you would be so kind to rate and review this podcast on Apple, it certainly helps with the pesky thing called the algorithm. If you could also share this podcast with fellow like-minded movie friends and movie buffs, it really would be much appreciated. Of course, a shout-out on social media, though I will have more to say on that towards the end of the show. But as always, thank you for tuning in each and every Friday and being a part of this cinematic journey with me. 155 episodes later, and that is all thanks to you, the faithful listeners, you, the friends of Phil at the Movies, and I am forever grateful to your support and your friendship. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, and I salute you. All right, the movie, The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. This is the first fully animated and theatrically released Looney Tunes film in the franchise, based on entirely original material. Now, again, I am not a huge expert on these characters. Again, aware of them enough just because of their status as pop culture icons. But I went into this really just looking for a good time. Because as I said at the start, there is this sort of highbrow mentality among some critics and even quote-unquote cinephiles who believe that, oh, animated movies are not real movies. And that is, I'm just going to call bull. Because an animated film, in a lot of ways, can be more impactful with 2D drawings than a full big-budget production with live-action actors, expansive detail, endless sets and budgets. And again, sometimes you could have the most, you could have the prettiest looking movie in the world with some of the best actors around, and yet if the story stinks, well, then the movie's going to stink. And so to me, I always look at what is the story. Everything comes down to story, and whether that is told in a live action format with just a couple of people in a small budget, or if it is in an animated film, if the story is good, if it's compelling, it doesn't matter whether it is live action or animated. Now, this is a perfect case of a funny, wacky, zany, over-the-top spectacle that has tremendous heart and warmth to it. I experienced all the feels in this movie. I was smiling, I was laughing, I was cheering. I had some little tender moments watching the film. It really does play to all sides here. And it's a perfect film if you've got young kids, families to go see. But it is not necessarily geared directly at younger audiences. It is a film for everybody. There's enough jokes and material in this film to entertain even the older, some might say more cynical audience members. The film is an absolute delight. We are caught up in the wacky shenanigans and misadventures of Daffy Duck and Porky Pig as they set out to save their home from being foreclosed and taken away. They try everything to save their house. They try all kinds of jobs. Each one results in them being fired in some form or another. The camaraderie between Daffy and Porky is the stuff of legends, and they are just having a ball in this movie. Again, these are drawings, but yet the interactions, it's like a Laurel and Hardy type situation. I was busting a gut just watching them go at it back and forth. But getting back to the main point of it, they're fired from job after job. They're at their wits' ends, and then they finally take a job at a bubblegum factory. And everything appears to be going well. Looks like they're going to be able to save the house. Well, lo and behold, they uncover at the bubblegum factory a plot by aliens to take over the world. Yes, to take over the world by lulling the human race into a stupor and mind control, resulting in easily dominating the world. Well, of course, it is up to Daffy and Porky to save the day, and of course, it's going to be shenanigans all the way through. This film will delight everybody. It is a film for kids. It is for the kid at heart. I found myself just with the biggest smile by the end of the film, and it is a great reminder that an animated movie can pack a punch in more ways than one, than even sometimes as a live action, or can do it just as well as a live action film. I really had a great time with this. It is funny. It is sharply written. There's never a moment where the pacing felt off. Like I said, it plays to all demographics. There's enough in there for the older audiences. There's plenty in there to entertain the kids. And it's just a beautifully drawn film. The animation is larger than life. It really does pop and come to life. And it feels like this is a market that Warner Brothers could be and should be tapping into, because it does feel like there is this necessity or desire for some of this older, old-scale, traditional 2D animation as opposed to the 3D sort of craze that was popularized by Disney and Pixar that certainly dominated the 2000s and into the 2010s. This really does feel like a return to form for Warner Brothers, and they hit it out of the park with this film. I say more movies in this style because these are the kind of films that you can take the whole family to. Everybody can have a great night at the movies, and it's also entertaining and good fun. There's a wonderful story here. Putting aside, again, all of the classic, you know, pratfalls and explosions and dumbbells falling from the sky, it is a well-made, well-rounded film that will just leave you with the biggest smile on your face and a twinkle in your eye. And sometimes that's all you can ask for from a movie. And it's even more refreshing when it does come from sort of the unexpected corridor, which in this case would be an animated film. This is one that is sort of heads and shoulders above a lot of the more recent animated films. And again, I'm not picking on any one in particular, but this really does feel like they tapped into something special and was able to honor the past, if you will, sort of the great tradition of the Looney Tunes franchise, while also giving something fresh and exciting for a new age. I'm glad this movie is getting a theatrical release. I hope people go out and see it, because these are the kind of films that should also be seen on the big screen and not just be relegated to a streaming platform or some other format. See these movies on the big screen. It's loud, it's expansive, it's beautiful, it pops. It really does make you feel like a kid again. It kind of a throwback to those Saturday mornings where you might be watching this show or any classic cartoon. It does sort of take you back, but then you can sort of appreciate it now as an adult and sort of see all of the nuances and the innuendo that you might have missed as a younger viewer. But as I said, putting aside all of the antics and the hilarity and the pratfalls and the classic Looney Tunes humor that is associated with these projects, there actually is a wonderful story about brotherhood, about friendship, and it really does sort of make you feel all good inside. And the fact that this is an animated movie that's able to sort of reach you on that level, I mean, that's just more power to the filmmakers here. So I have to give two thumbs way up for this movie. It takes you back to that Saturday morning ritual where you might be watching a classic cartoon like this. Got your bowl of cereal in front of you. I know I'm really reaching for the cliches with that imagery, but you understand my setup. This is a wonderful tribute, and it goes beyond even being a love letter to Looney Tunes, because you could have easily just played this as the best of and let the movie run its course, but there was an effort to not only honor the tradition of the characters, but the director, Pete Braungart, there's a real understanding of what makes these characters and situations everlasting. I mean, there's a reason why we're in the year 2025 and I'm talking about a Looney Tunes movie. You can't necessarily say that for all of these classic cartoons that came out 60, 70 years ago. They don't necessarily have that kind of staying power or currency. I think the fact that this franchise has endured, the fact that Porky Pig and Daffy Duck are staples of Americana, that is because of the love and sincerity that was put into these characters way back when they were created. And their traits, their characteristics can stay the same, but they can be adapted to each different era and time and still feel as relevant and as funny as they did back when they were created. That was my real takeaway from this film, and I really appreciate sort of the sincerity and just the commitment to make a damn good movie. And that's the thing. This is an animated movie on top of it. So it's like double points here. You've told a great movie and you've done it using an animated format. So for me, two thumbs way up. I hope people check out this film. See it on the big screen. If you're looking for a fun film to see with the whole family, this is one that everybody is going to leave with the biggest smile on your face. It's wild, it's zany, and it has just the right amount of heart to make it all worthwhile. As Porky Pig is prone to say, that's all, folks. I would just add the slight addendum, I hope that ain't all, folks, because we need more films like this and more films in this style, please. All right, lastly, before I go, as I teased at the start, comment about social media, particularly social media vis-a-vis the film industry. Now, earlier this week, an article caught my eye as I was on Twitter, of all places. And the article speaks to a concerning trend in the film industry, particularly the business side of the film industry. A trend that, fingers crossed, and I think there is some cause for optimism and hope that this trend will not become a permanent reality. But nevertheless, it is a situation that is certainly getting a lot of people's attention, and people have all kinds of opinions and takes. But let me give you some context before I share with you my thoughts. This is Scarlett Johansson speaking to In Style. And, of course, Scarlett Johansson is going to be in the upcoming Jurassic World movie, opening later this summer. I don't need to speak about Jurassic World and Jurassic Park. This is a massive movie franchise, but we'll let that go. Now, Scarlett Johansson does not have an Instagram account, okay? She doesn't have a social media presence. That is by choice. Good for her. But she has said, with regards to this movie, she is facing a lot of pressure from the studio, in this case Universal, to join Instagram. And her quote, "Even today, I get an email from Universal, and they're like, hey, would you consider joining Instagram in tandem with the release of Jurassic World Rebirth?" Now, first up, good for her for not having a social media account. I think that is commendable, particularly in this age. But it really does speak to the kind of backward thinking of the studio system, where if a movie success is dependent upon whether or not a actor or actress has a social media account, then what are we doing here, folks? I mean, I'm being a little bit facetious here, but it's to a larger point. Now, before people come at me with the virtual pitchforks, I understand that this is a business side of the movie industry where you want to promote the film. You want to go where people are at. You want to go to social media. You want to go on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and all that, YouTube. Wonderful. I understand that philosophy, that there is a business side there. A lot of contracts involve a social media campaign as part of a movie's production. I get that. To me, this is a much larger issue that speaks to a concerning trend that I hope does not become a permanent reality. Because if we are in the point where a movie success or failure is entirely based on who or who isn't on Instagram or any social media platform, then the entire industry has gone down the drain. And interestingly enough, Maya Hawke said recently in an interview that a lot of casting agents, a lot of directors, will cast people in movies based on, hold on to your hats, everybody, will cast based on how many followers somebody has on Instagram or any social media. I mean, that to me is absolutely bonkers. And again, speaks to that point of, if we're doing that, if that is what the future of the film industry is, if somebody has 1,000 followers on Instagram versus somebody who has 100,000, then my God, the industry is gone. It's cooked. Now, there is cause for celebration, a little bit. And the point I would make, and I have made, Scarlett Johansson, she's not joining Instagram. Good for her. I don't think a film like Jurassic Park should need that kind of attention. Again, if the film's success is entirely dependent on its stars being on social media, then that speaks to a much larger problem about the film itself. All right, tell a good story, and people will come. You know, build it, and they will come. But to my other point, Mikey Madison, who just won Best Actress for Anora at the Academy Awards, famously does not have any social media. Now, more power to Mikey. I find it commendable that she doesn't want any social media presence or following. If she can win an Oscar without any social media following, then why the hell Does Scarlett Johansson need to join Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever to promote a movie? Now, I know some of you are going to say, oh, it's apples and oranges. I disagree. I think it speaks to the same point. A star's success, a movie's success, should not be based on how many followers somebody has, how many likes they get in a post. That is the destruction of art. That is going beyond talent. That is going beyond, in the case of a movie, a good story. And you're just looking for clicks. You're looking for hits. You're looking for likes. So I am hopeful that because you have people like, particularly now, Mikey Madison, Best Actress winner, doesn't have social media. You've got Scarlett Johansson holding firm, not caving to the pressure. I hope that is a sign that people will speak out against this. I think you have Maya Hawke calling out the nonsense that movies would be casting actors based on how many followers they have. I mean, that's just ludicrous. Doesn't make any sense. Absolutely bonkers. I think the more people call this out, the more people realize this is complete dumbfounded ideas. Doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to control art in such a idiosyncratic, moronic way? Again, food for thought, everybody. But I am hopeful that this bizarre trend of following the likes or how many hits or how many followers somebody has will ultimately go by the wayside. And we will actually get back to what actually matters, which is casting people based on talent and making a compelling story, making a good movie and letting it speak for itself. That's what this should be about here. Make the best movie. Again, I understand there is the business side of it, but when that is trumping art and storytelling and acting, then we've got a problem, folks. And I will continue to speak out on it. I will get up on the soapbox and I will call it out, because that to me is bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. And I do not want to see that become a full-on reality and a permanent mainstay. To a larger point, I think that speaks to why films, or I should say film studios, like Neon, for example, which of course was behind the distribution of Anora, why studios like that, why studios like A24 are finding tremendous success. Because in many ways, not only are they putting out terrific films and well-made films and compelling stories, but they're actually being run by people who, shocker, like movies. And that cannot be said, sadly to say, about a lot of the other major studios in Hollywood right now. A lot of the old guard, if you will, are run by people who, bless their hearts, do not understand movies. They only understand it as a simple business model. And I think we have to get back to a world where, yes, there is that side of it. There is the business side. But that should not be trumping over the desire to make something, to actually make art, to tell a compelling story. Actually making movies for the love of movies, to use my catchphrase. All right, I will get off my soapbox. I have said enough. Needless to say, I have hope. More power to people like Scarlett Johansson and, of course, Mikey Madison for rejecting the trends and following their own course. I think that is always the best way in any situation, and particularly in this dynamic with movies. But that does it for me today, everybody. Let me know your thoughts if you are so inclined. That does it for today's episode. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'll be back next week, and we will do this all over again for the love of movies. Makes every move.